Good morning, everybody.
Love Talk Radio.
Well, hello, Todd Tomasella here. Safeguard Your Soul Radio. Brother Travis Bryan is on the line. Good morning, brother. How are you?
Hello, Brother Todd. How are you this morning?
Doing great. A little late getting to the studio this morning here. And how you doing down there in South Texas?
Well, we've had about 15 inches of rain here, but we've managed to handle it pretty good. We're 90 miles north of Houston here in Bryan, Texas. But Todd, this catastrophe in Houston is exceeding all past history of anything like this. It's unbelievable down there.
Oh wow, it's even
worse. Which kind of goes with our topic today. You know, it's out of the depths that we're transformed, Todd. And I know that God has withdrawn and allowed the devil to bring this flood down there, but I'm going to tell you, he's done it with a redemptive purpose. There are going to be some people that are going to get saved and sanctified and transformed and lifted up through all this adversity down there. And a lot of people are going down to help, and that's just a beautiful thing to see.
Amen, brother. You know, you said something recently that is coins of biblical truth, and I totally agree with it, and I think it fits right here. In the life of the born-again believer, everything that is good, and everything that is bad is good. Amen?
Exactly. All things work together for good to those who love God and are called according to his purpose. And that is a tremendous verse on the cross right there, Todd, how God turns negatives into positives, cursing into blessing, weakness into wholeness, death into life. In this mysterious principle of what happened at Calvary, Todd, and it's being replayed over and over in the lives of believers and those who need to come to Christ, it's just a fabulous secret that's been revealed primarily by the Apostle Paul, Todd. And Jesus lived the cross. He had the cross lifestyle, and we look at his life and we see what it is to live dead to self. But then Paul came along and explained the whole thing, the theology behind it, and the practical effect of it. So it's just beautiful, Todd.
Amen. It looked bad for Christ and to the flesh and to those who mocked him when he hung on that cross, didn't it, brother?
Oh, yeah. They did not understand him because he upset the entire, turned the tables over as he did in the temple. And I think that's a symbol of what he did in people's hearts. He overturned the tables of people's hearts. And just changed everything upside down.
Amen. You know, that very verse is coupled, a verse that directly speaks of the cross, Romans 8, 28, 29. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose, or whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. There's the resurrection, firstborn among many brethren. The cross is right here,
brother.
Being conformed to the image of Christ. And back to verse 28, we know that all things work together. Key two words here, for good. Doesn't matter what we may be going through at the moment, God is working it together for good. He is divinely, masterfully orchestrating these events to bring about Christ-likeness in our lives. And Brother Travis, the Bible says that when we suffer, we are perfected, established, strengthened, and settled. For me, I know that there was a jittery nervousness in my spirit just because I'm a human being. in years past until it was a long season of suffering. Now there's a settling and a settlement of the peace of God that is priceless. Amen. So these are good things that are happening, saints, even if they seem to be bad, and even if it looks bad for the home team like it did when Jesus was being crucified and mocked, hung up between heaven and earth on that cross. It was all working to the glory of God. And Brother Travis, Satan would have never done it if he knew that the defeat he was going to suffer at the hands of Christ dying on the cross of Calvary. Amen.
Amen, brother. I talked to a brother last night at our men's group who's had a bout with cancer in his throat and taken a big hit with chemotherapy and so forth. And this brother was, on fire last night. Some of the things he said were just coming straight out of the Holy Spirit. And so God had allowed that in order to recalibrate him, to reboot him, to empty out self and to be able to fill his heart with the Spirit of God, Todd, and it showed.
Amen, brother. Sometimes we forget that we're just simply strangers and pilgrims in this fleeting world, waiting for the redemption of our body and to be with Christ. Amen?
Amen, brother.
Now, this is part two here today of the message of the cross that you have put together, back to basics, and it's about baptism here out of Romans 6. And you start it off with saying that the word baptism literally means to be overwhelmed with calamity. And I think the Greek word is baptizo in the Greek New Testament. It means to be overwhelmed with calamity or adversity, as in a flood or storm or fire. Wow, the timing couldn't have been better for this one, huh?
And that's what it is, Todd, that God withdraws and allows the devil to bring these calamities into our life. And these things knock us down. And as I said in point two there, one of the main ones is our own failures, our own sins, our own transgressions.
Failure to
keep the rules. We become exhausted of trying to save ourselves and trying to cope with life, and we fall out of our own comfort zone, our own control mechanisms, and we're hopeless and helpless in those moments. And Todd, this is something that God has allowed. The devil has tempted us. He's got us in sin and failure, and we finally collapse as a result of our own doing and fall down into the depths of despair, Todd. And right at that moment is when we have a choice to make. Do we rail against God and do we harden our hearts? Do we embitter ourselves against him? Or do we cry out for salvation? It seems that the human being will not cry for salvation when everything is going well and he's on top. But when he falls down deep into the depths of despair, Todd, that's where finally a human being will look up to God and say, save me. And this is a transaction of salvation, Todd, right there. And it can be due to suffering that we don't deserve, as in Job. It can be things that, we're living holy lives for the most part, and this happens to us. Or it can be due to our own, we're drowning in our own failure, Todd. And either way, God is there to lift us up when we call out to him and raise us up and give us newness of life and resurrection life and power, Todd. And that's what baptism is. That is what baptism is.
Jonah knows what that's about, doesn't he, brother?
He does. He cried out. Todd, chapter 2 of Jonah. Is. And let me just say that Jesus referred to Jonah's deal as his transaction as a sign. They were always asking him, give us a sign, show us a miracle. And he would always resort to the sign of Jonah, because that sign is the precursor of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus himself. And we see in chapter 2 of Jonah an individual who has come to the end of his own failure, his own running from God, and has fallen down into the depths and been swallowed by a great sea monster, and is in the belly of the great fish, and this is where he finally cries out. Let's go to chapter 2 there, Todd, and pick up a few of those verses. That's a beautiful illustration
yes.
of what this is.
It is. Chapter 2, verse 1 of Jonah. Then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly and said, I cried by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me. Out of the belly of hell cried I, and thou heardest my voice, for thou hast cast me into the deep, in the midst of the seas, and the floods compassed me about. All thy billows and thy waves passed over me. Then I said, I am cast out of thy sight, yet I will look again toward thy holy temple. The waters compassed me about, even to the soul. The depth closed me round about. The weeds were wrapped about my head. I went down to the bottoms of the mountains. The earth with her bars was about me forever. Yes, yet thou brought up my life from corruption, O Lord, my God. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came in unto thee, into thine holy temple. David observed lying vanities forsake their own mercy. But I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. And the Lord spake unto the fish, and he vomited out Jonah upon the dry land. Amen. Jonah 2, 1 through 10.
And,
brother,
and
he
Todd,
was in
that
sin,
last,
and that's why he got there, right?
He was in sin. He was running from God down to Tarsus, I believe it was. And then into a ship, and then down into the bottom of the ship. You notice the pathway is down, and then down off the ship into the sea, and sinking down into the sea, and then into the belly of this whale.
Yeah.
And so we have this total descent downward that was brought about by Jonah's own rejection and rebellion against God.
Yeah.
And it was only this deep burial that finally turned him toward God. And that's the way it is for us. Todd, this is a picture of in Jonah of what death and burial with Christ is.
Yeah.
And many times it'll happen to people that don't deserve it, too. Jonah deserved it. But many times it doesn't. It is undeserved suffering.
Yeah.
First Peter speaks of that.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Suffering for righteousness and for righteousness' sake and suffering for evil's sake. He contrasts those in 1 Peter. You hear people say, well, I've done too much. There's no way God can forgive me. Well, Jonah was rebelling against God right here. And God brought him to a place of humility and utter brokenness, where he cried out to the Lord from the depths of his being, which Really, we don't do that usually, brother, until we're absolutely at the end of ourselves and all the way at the bottom, where there's only one way to look, and that's up. It just seems to be human nature, Brother Travis, when we have everything that the world has to offer at our fingertips. You know, somebody has mentioned that America might be the worst, most place of temptation on the whole planet, because all of the conveniences of life are available to us, and we can tend to forget the Lord, which the Bible speaks a lot about. That we anybody who forgets the Lord will be turned into hell. And Brother Travis, I know you got more to say about this. I was thinking about Psalm 130, where he says, "Out of the depths have I cried unto thee, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let thine ears be attentive to the voice of my supplications. If thou, Lord, shouldest mark iniquities, O Lord, who shall stand? But there is forgiveness with thee, that thou mayest be feared. I wait for the Lord. My soul doth wait, and in his word do I hope." Amen. In his word do I hope. "My soul waiteth for the Lord more than they that watch for the morning." I say more than they that watch for the morning. Let Israel hope in the Lord, for the Lord, for with the Lord there is mercy, and with him is plenteous redemption. Amen. Sounds like God got David to a place of utter brokenness right there and healing. The last verse says, "And he shall redeem Israel from all his iniquities." And there's the deliverance from the things that bind us today, saints. The sins that might have power over you today, God is going to bring you to a place where they have no power over you and break those chains in Jesus' name. Amen. Israel is the people of God, and that includes us. We are the Israel of God, Galatians 6:16. "And God shall redeem Israel from all his iniquities." Amen, brother.
And Todd, you know, in Western Christianity, we think that a relationship with God is to bring order into our own lives, and that's really law, that we think by keeping rules and have everything on a list and checking off our list, and this is a way to climb up to God, and climbing up is the way that most of the church looks at getting close to God, is by being moral and checking their list and keeping all the rules. But we really get closer to God, and this is kind of a strange thing, by getting it wrong more than we do getting it right, Todd. The Lord has to let disorder and confusion come into our lives, and he allows that to sort of scramble us, and then out of that, we come up, finally, a resurrected new person in Christ, but it happens more through disorder than it does order, and that's a strange fact about baptism, Todd.
Amen, brother. Sounds like some of the things Paul's resume of suffering had in it. It wasn't
and
real
think,
pretty, was
think,
it?
Todd, about, think about Jesus' parables. Over and over, the guy who's got everything in order, who is moral and doing it right, is the butt of the story. And the sinner is the hero of the story.
This
changes the whole way that people look at Christianity in Western terms. You know, the two men go to the temple to pray, and one of them thanks God that he doesn't do all these things like this tax collector. And Jesus summarizes the parable in saying this tax collector is the one who went home justified. The other guy doesn't get it, Todd.
No, he
because
did,
that tax collector
didn't leave
had fallen, Todd. He had fallen into sin, and God had blessed him with mercy, and now he understood the Christian life, Todd.
Amen. He said seven words in his prayer, as he simply hung his head in shame, looking to the mercy of God, and said simply, "Be merciful to me, Lord, a sinner." The other fellow prayed 34 words of complete self-righteousness that never left the room and did not get answered at all. That's a perfect example, brother. And in 2 Corinthians 6, just a couple of verses here on Paul's calamitous life in Christ, in stripes, he says, in imprisonments, in tumults, in labors, in watchings, in fastings, by pureness, by knowledge, by long-suffering, by kindness, by the Holy Ghost, by love unfeigned, etc., etc. But that in chapter 12, he goes through a whole list, and maybe perhaps even chapter 11, of things that were going on in the great apostle's life. They weren't very pretty all the time, but then he says, "When I'm weak, then am I strong." There's that resurrection power and life springing out of those bad situations, huh?
Absolutely. And all of those are little baptisms, Todd, in the life of Paul. Every one of those adversities and calamities that he underwent were just another baptism that made him stronger in Christ. God.
Amen. Dead and buried, and then comes the resurrection. And there can be no resurrection until there's first a death in a burial. And that's what we see so beautifully depicted in the life of Jonah, brother, chapter 2, huh?
Oh, absolutely. And Todd, you know, people want to do great things for God, and they want to be used as an instrument by God and see miracles done in their lives. But the way all that is short-circuited is they resist this fall. They resist this humbling. They resist the cross, Todd, that takes you into great things for God. Look at Jonah. When he comes up, the fish vomits him out, and he lands on the shore. There's a picture of resurrection. And he walks into Nineveh. And he gets about, a third of the way into it, and he utters a sentence and doesn't even get the whole sentence out. And 120,000 people get saved. Now, Todd, that will never happen in the life of the believer until there's this baptism.
Amen, brother. That is an incredible example. Now, Brother Travis, is it a fact? Does God ordain, if you will, or orchestrate the events of our lives to bring about this death and burial through the circumstances?
I hesitate to use the word orchestrate because that makes him the cause of these falls, and
right.
I don't believe God is ever the cause of it. He allows
right.
it to happen. The devil is
After
always
that fact,
there with his bent.
The devil
has a bent to steal, kill, and destroy. And so God allows him to go so far in the life of a believer for a good purpose. And that's to raise him up and put words in his mouth so 120,000 people can get saved. And that's the way
I see
it, Tom.
Yeah, I agree, because God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. James 1:13, and all things, he didn't say all things are good. He said they all work together for the good.
Exactly.
Amen. So the second point you make here, as we've got just a few minutes left, baptism is our experience of the cross. The most common form of this baptism occurs when a person is drowning in his own sins, failures, transgressions, or failure to keep the rules, and he finally becomes exhausted from trying to save himself. This leads to a descent, a fall, a drowning without water, or a sinking down into death. The law was given to multiply our opportunities for failing. Romans 5:20. Yeah, falling. Yeah.
The law
I've got
came
to read
in
that
in order that the offense might abound.
Yes, in Romans 5.
And so the law just presents an opportunity to fall because we can't keep it. It finally frustrates us, and we fall down into, oh, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me type of thinking, and that's where we need to be, Todd, at the bottom of that trough.
Brother, God is calling us to fresh surrender, and that's the rest of God we read about in Hebrews 4. We're to labor, saints, to enter into this rest, whatever it takes. We need to cry out to God today in fresh surrender in Jesus' name. Amen. And then number three, brother, don't know if we can finish this one because we got just about 2.5 minutes left, but let me try. We fall or sink down out of our arrogance, self-effort, self-confidence, self-esteem, pride, security, independence, self-righteousness, self-saving trust in idols like drugs, alcohol, food, entertainment, religion, networking, health fanaticism, knowledge of our trade or profession, earthly wisdom, intellectual knowledge of the Bible, list of things. I got to tell you, you didn't leave anything out of this list.
I tried not to, Todd.
You were zinging it here, brother. List of things to do to create order in our lives, psychological techniques, bromides for living like God helps. That's a word I don't even know. God helps those. We live with this idea that God helps those who help themselves, quote unquote. We fall down into God. This is what baptism is, the falling down out of things, some of which even have temporal value, and falling into a person, Jesus Christ, and his things have eternal value. It is a surrender, a self-sacrifice, a letting go, a willingness to lose an illusion of what life is in order to gain real life, John 12:23-24, a consent to experiencing loss after the letting go, a sinking down, an emptying out, a recognition of one's utter inability to climb up anymore into happiness or success, an acceptance of undeserved suffering, a cessation of taking or grabbing for gusto in hopes of being made into a giver instead of a taker.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. I mean, it is.
So see, the American way, Todd, is the American philosophy of life is totally against this. You know, we see it as a pursuit of happiness, and that is okay in our Constitution, Bill of Rights, and so forth. But really, that's not God's way. We don't climb up through possessions and ownership and power and authority and control and insulation from falls. We fall down into God. Todd, it's an inverse theology from what America practices.
Amen. What an absolutely incredible message. Saints, I want to encourage you to go on safeguardyoursoul.com and look at the rest of this. We read about three quarters of it, but read this yourself on safeguardyoursoul.com under the heading of either Daily Cross under that category or Travis Bryan III, and please listen to this message again and share it with others so they can be edified with true kingdom living through the cross. And this ministry needs your support, saints. We'd love to have you jump in and get behind the ministry of the cross of Christ. God bless you. Thank you for listening, Brother Travis. God bless you, brother. Thank you.
Thank you, Todd.
Great message. Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.